You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So it looks like the Gasparilla Bowl, NC State versus Memphis, has come to a not-so-merciful end. 31-7 final. NC State wins. A.J. Hill got it at the end of the game, though, Connor. So there's that. Last couple of plays I saw, he got sacked. It was 3rd and 16, and he threw a check down to the running back, who almost got a first down. And then they had a trick play installed where it's supposed to be a double reverse pass to Brendan Lewis, who was lined up as a wide receiver, and they fumbled the exchange. So, yeah, that's over. But let's bring on David Cobb on that note. David W. Cobb on X. College basketball, college football for CBS Sports, also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN. You can catch him every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, and then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, how you doing, brother?
Hey, man, I had high hopes for a daytime bowl game
no,
today.
No, you didn't. Stop lying. No, you did not. 41-6 and 31-7, though, final scores.
I just needed some entertaining background noise, and I was thoroughly let down. So hopefully Alabama-Oklahoma delivers tonight.
Yeah, the city of Memphis had a really rough day during the daytime bowl games. Jerry Mack taking the 41-6 loss, and then Memphis, of course, just completely crapping the bed. And, David, I finally called it. I'm like the last person holding on to the sanctity of the bowl season. I called
right,
it today.
Right.
I called it. It's done. Yeah. I'm of the opinion at this point that, unfortunately, even for our friends at the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, I hope this doesn't happen, but it feels like the B in FBS may have to be rethought here in a couple of years. Because, I mean, this Memphis game, Reggie Howard says there's no opt-outs, and there was clearly mass opt-outs. That affects.
Yeah, right?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if it happened overnight or happened when they were there, but he told the media there was no opt-outs, and clearly everybody opt-out, including just about the entire offensive line. But that affects betting markets. That affects watchability. And I know a lot of people, or at least a few people. I'm not going to say a lot of people, but I know a few people that spent their hard-earned money to go buy a ticket to that game, pay for lodging, and pay for a plane ticket. to get to Tampa, and that's not the product that they asked for or paid for.
No. Well, hopefully there were other attractions. You know, I mean, going to a warmer climate this time of year, right? Like, hey, the Memphis Tigers gave you an excuse to go to Florida, right? So the game itself may have been a dud, but I'm jealous. If you went to Florida, I think that was money well spent this week.
Okay. All right. I got you. All right, now let's get into it. College football playoff first round starts tonight. Alabama is visiting Oklahoma. We'll have it actually right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, pregame at 6:30, and then kickoff will be at 7 o'clock. How do you see it? Have you changed your mind? I think you originally took Oklahoma. Have you rethought that in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, so actually I am going with Alabama. I don't know if I rethought it so much as like I just thought it for the first time. because like when you fire off these playoff picks, the immediate aftermath of the bracket coming out, like they're not well thought out. But as you really kind of peel it back and look at it, I do think Alabama was the better team when they met the first time. And I think they're going to be a really motivated team tonight because the revenge factor is at play. They've had a few weeks off now to get things right. Like Alabama was just not right the last four or five games of the season. But lest we forget, man, there was a version of Alabama in the five or six games after the Florida State loss that looked like a national title caliber team. And for whatever reason, that offense has gotten off track. And I'm at least somewhat optimistic that they can find it. Now, it's going to be really important that they're able to at least run the football a little bit. And they could run the football a little bit in the first meeting. And if they can do that again, then I like their chances because Oklahoma, I mean, I keep saying it, but it's worth reiterating. They're surviving on luck, on opponent turnovers. They're surviving on LSU's busted coverages,
yep.
You know, in late in the second half of that game, basically opening the door for them to keep their playoff hopes alive. And so I think you got to give Oklahoma a lot of credit for making a good season out of a bad situation because their offense has been really, really bad. And so it's crazy. You think about, like, if you had asked me week two, week three, Alabama, Oklahoma meeting in a bowl, like in a playoff game, what's the point total going to be in that game? I would have said like 55 or something, you know, we're looking at a 28-27 sort of game, but here we are. And it's at about 40 because both offenses are struggling so much. But when push comes to shove, if you're asking me, who do I think is going to execute in a clutch situation or who do I think is going to come out with the right game script on to jump ahead? I think in both those situations, I like Alabama.
Yeah. Now I've had to try to rethink this. Because originally I'm thinking, okay, Oklahoma's going to handle business. Defense is very good. But their offense isn't that great. I know Alabama, like the last thing we saw was them getting their brains beat in by Georgia. And the offense was not good. They couldn't run the ball. But I think a lot of that has to do with Georgia just really turning it on at the end of the season defensively. But one thing that brought me back to the Alabama side of this thing is their defense – well, if you just sort of look at the box score, you wouldn't be convinced of this. Their defense was actually okay in that SEC championship game, and they've been okay all year. The problem was Georgia's touchdown drives were so short. They lost the field position battle in a drastic way against Georgia, and I think that put them behind the eight ball pretty consistently. And I thought, considering that fact, Bama's defense kind of held up. Because when you look at these touchdown drives, Georgia, at the end of the game, it was a 12-yard touchdown drive. Their longest touchdown drive was 40 yards. They had another, I don't know, the longest was 57, but they had touchdown drives of, I think, let's see. They had touchdown drives of 12 yards, and then, of course, they had the other one of 21.
Because you're turning the ball over, you're getting your butt kicked on special teams, and then you're going for it on fourth down because why not? You have nothing to lose. And so when you do all those things and none of them go right, like, then yeah, you put yourself in a bad position. So I'm with you. I actually think this Alabama defense isn't really all that far behind Oklahoma's defense, which we talk about as if it's, you know, the reincarnation of 2021 Georgia or something. And it's like, okay, like Oklahoma's defense is good, but I don't know that it's so good that Alabama can't move the football on them. In fact, I would say Alabama moved the football on Oklahoma reasonably well in the first meeting. And so Can Alabama finish drive? And I mean, you go back to the first meeting, I believe there was a crucial missed field goal from Connor Talti in that first game, right? That's the difference in the ball game right there. It's a 2-point game the first time they meet. That field goal goes through the uprights, then Alabama wins it. Oklahoma's not in the playoff. Brent Venables is on the hot seat, and now here we are writing profiles on him as if he's, you know, the second coming of Barry Switzer. I mean, that's how fine the line is. And I think Oklahoma, and look, I mean, this could come back to bite me in 4 hours, right? Like, but I do think there's an air of fraudulence about Oklahoma in terms of, like, if you're really power ranking the teams in this field, I think I'd power rank Oklahoma below Alabama, even though Alabama's not been at its best. I do think there is a ceiling with Alabama that's not just, hey, maybe we can win one game. I think there's a ceiling with Alabama that is, hey, we can make it to the national title game. I don't see that sort of ceiling with Oklahoma.
All right, now, of these teams that are going to be playing this weekend, I just want to go through, and I'll leave Tulane and James Madison out of it, no doubt. And I guess I'll leave Oklahoma. You kind of made your feelings clear about Oklahoma. But just give me a yes or no on if you think they can win a national title. Alabama.
No.
Miami.
No.
A&M.
Yes.
A&M, okay. All right. I mean, that last game against Texas makes me think differently. But at their peak, I did think they were, right there with Georgia, best team in the SEC. Ole Miss.
No.
And then this one, I'll give you my answer after, but Oregon.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I was going to say yes as well. I just, the problem with them is I haven't really seen them battle tested, and the one game that I really look at for that battle test, they lost. They lost by 10 at home to Indiana.
But I'm
a buyer into the talent that they have. I mean, they have just as much talent as anybody in the field.
The receivers might be coming back too. Like they might be getting the cavalry back at receiver with Gary Bryant and DeCorian Moore. And shoot, I mean, I even saw where Evan Stewart was practicing this week. He hasn't played all season. Don't know what, if anything, you expect from him when he's coming off an injury and hadn't played a competitive football game in however long. So I'm not necessarily reserving a ton of hope there, but this offense that Oregon's been getting by with, being held together by duct tape. I mean, they've been targeting Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end, more than anyone else. I saw some interesting quotes from Will Stein, the offensive coordinator, who, of course, is going to be the head coach at Kentucky. And he's talking about, man, I've run more two tight end, more two running back sets than really probably ever have during my college career because of the injury situation at receiver. And Oregon, by default, has had to learn how to play a lot of different styles. They've had to reach deeper into their playbook than they probably planned on doing. And yet through it all, they've played well. And yeah, it's true. Their schedule wasn't all that tough, but I will say down the stretch, they did have to beat USC. They did have to beat Washington. Neither one of those games were pushovers. And the one loss, you look back at it and you realize now, okay, Indiana is legitimately, if not the best team in the country, then, I mean, they're right there. Right. So, I think when you look at Oregon, yeah, there is a lot to like there, and this mystique and this what if factor on if DeCorian Moore and Gary Bryant play, and the levers that'll open up for Will Stein in that offense, because they've been playing with one hand tied behind their back due to injury, and they've still been finding ways to win. Now you give them a clean bill of health, and I think the sky's the limit.
All right, can either of my G5 teams cover this weekend?
No doubt. I believe so. Without
okay. All right. Is it just because it's a big number, or do you think that they'll actually put up a fight?
Maybe in James Madison's case, it's because it's a big number, but I actually think Oregon is live to potentially upset Ole Miss. We just can't.
Or Tulane.
What did I say?
You said Oregon. Tulane.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So no, I think Tulane is live to potentially beat Ole Miss because I don't think we can overestimate or pretend like the head coaching situation at Ole Miss isn't a big factor here. Now, ideally, I would love it. Like, I have a high degree of sympathy for Ole Miss. I'm with most people out there and thinking that they got a raw deal here. Obviously, Lane Kiffin doing what he did, it was a raw deal, right? So I hope that they come out inspired, that MP Golding said and done all the right things. And they were able to get Charlie Weiss Jr. back for the for the playoffs. And that offensive staff is mostly intact from what they had all year. So, like, I'm not dismissing or discounting the possibility that we could see a version of Ole Miss that was like the version we saw all season. But I think there's also another scenario there where this is a team that's just been hit by a train in terms of the leadership, the distractions, think about all the players who would already be thinking about their futures, but have really been led even further down that direction earlier than you would normally be because of the circumstances. And so, you know, I don't want to totally discount the possibility either that head coaching transition happening when it did is going to make it really hard for Ole Miss to play its best game. And I think you have to understand as well that Tulane is a different, better football team than it was when they met in September. I mean, it just, you know, they've come a long way since then. And I think John Summerall has done about as good of a job as you can possibly do of balancing two jobs at once. Now, of course, you see the news today. Of course, his father just passed. I mean, can you imagine, man? You have two head coaching jobs. One of your teams is in the playoff. Now you're dealing with the loss of your father on the day before the biggest, you know, game of your coaching career. By the way, like, you're trying to put together a staff at Florida and you're trying to recruit for Florida and all this. And it's a lot to handle for him too. But, you know, if you ask me, you know, do one of those G5 teams have a shot? Yeah, I think they both have a shot to cover. And I do think Tulane at least has an outside chance at pulling an upset.
All right, now I know this is kind of a strange line of questioning that I'm about to get into, but Indiana's number one overall seed, and I've come across a lot of these sort of blue chip ratios with the playoff teams, and how many 5 stars, how many 4 stars do you have, how many 2 stars and 1 stars and 0 stars and walk ons are on your team, and Indiana is right there with a group of five where they don't have any 5 stars and they have very few 4 stars. And, you know, it brought this question to my mind, like, is there any lessons we can take away from Kurt Cignetti, or is this just truly, like, one of one? I know this is a question that's kind of been posed in different ways throughout this year and seeing Indiana's success, but is there anything we can take away from this? Because he's breaking the code when it comes to the Bud Elliott blue chip ratio and all these different things where you have to have talent, you have to pay for a roster at the highest level to be able to succeed.
Well, so it's interesting because I think to a certain extent you could also ask the same question about Texas Tech, because when you do the blue chip ratio, that's the number of freshmen that you signed who are, I think, what is it, 4-star or better. Now, of course, Texas Tech has since acquired transfers who once upon a time were ranked 4 or 5 stars. And I think that differentiates them from Indiana. But neither program has been in the habit of the last 5 years of signing enough 5-star prospects to, historically anyway, by the historical standard, compete for a national championship. Now, I think that blue chip ratio could very well be busted for the first time this year because of the quality of transfers. And so now with Indiana, I think it is a unique situation because it's a G5 all-star team. A lot of these guys came from James Madison. And in some ways, it's kind of like what we see in college basketball, where a Texas Tech, for example, is going to supplement their roster with a whole bunch of really, you know, solid players from the low and high major rank. You know, JT Toppin, for example, started at New Mexico, right? It's interesting because Indiana doesn't have the guys who, as high school players, were 4 and 5 stars, but Kurt Cignetti has. I mean, he's just an incredible coach. I don't know what more you can really say.
I've heard his, you know, explanation as to how he goes and recruits guys, but it's like I'm not really getting the substance of how you've made this work, because I've heard him say he learned some lessons early in his career. He recruits production over potential, right? Which means I don't care about the stars. I'm looking at what they did on the field, actually, which I think is a good good policy, no doubt. But at the same time, I feel like everybody has that same message. Everyone has that same message, but Kurt Cignetti's doing it at a different level with those guys.
Yeah, no doubt. You also have to, I think, you know, you can't overestimate the importance of getting the right quarterback. And
sure,
Fernando Mendoza just won the Heisman Trophy, and that's obviously been a huge part of their success. It's not all of it, but if Indiana doesn't go out and get a guy like that, you know, they might still be in the playoff, because I do think they're really good elsewhere on both sides of the football. But, you know, he's that sort of difference maker who elevates them into the national title level tier. You know, he's the guy who did lead them to that win over Penn State when their back was against the wall, and he made the clutch throws to beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. And so that's a huge factor here as well. But, you know, I think it is one of the greatest coaching jobs of all time in college football. That might seem like hyperbole, but I really don't think it is, Gabe. I mean, we've been over it, but it bears repeating just how horrible Indiana was. And, you know, I think you also have to give the administration credit too, you know, for investing in football and for caring about football at a historical basketball school, and saying, you know what, we're going to try something a little different here, and we're going to give this coach what he needs to be successful. And I think the fact that you've seen him rebuff advances from other jobs tells you everything you need to know about how invested they are in the future of being good at football. And so that's a huge part of it too, because the players who they had who were good last year, by and large, if they had eligibility remaining, they stayed. And that's not historically what you would expect from Indiana, because historically you would think they would be a team that would get their roster poached, you know, and for the most part, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. Are they going to get another transfer quarterback heading into next year after this college football playoff run? I've heard Josh Hoover from TCU tied to them. Brennan Soresby used to be an Indiana player, and he's improved. So maybe there's a return plan there. But also, you have another Mendoza behind the current Mendoza who won the Heisman.
Yeah, no kidding. Would be interesting to see if they don't just go with that route. But that's a tough decision to make, because he's been a part of it. He's played a good bit this year as a backup quarterback. So. Maybe they go that direction, but he's got a ton of eligibility left too. So you could also go with a proven vet for one more year and sort of let Alberto Mendoza get that extra year of experience. The quarterback market is already looking pretty solid. I mean, you mentioned a few of them. Lagway is going to transfer. Dylan Rayola is going to transfer.
Colton Joseph to Memphis? Question mark. With the OC hire.
You know, I had him ranked a year pretty much in the quarterback power rank. He was one of the very best in the G5. I love that idea.
And he's got 2 years of eligibility, but will he have high major offers? Like high big power four offers, like a Florida? You think that'll those type of offers will come in for Colton Joseph?
Or is he not that caliber? There are going to be questions about his throwing ability. Now, he is kind of like a version of Jackson Dart in the toughness, maybe even like a version of John Mateer, I would say.
I don't know how much I like hearing that, because that usually lends itself to injuries, and we're just coming off a year with Memphis where Brendan Lewis, you know, that was a year-long thing.
Yeah, so Colton Joseph, I mean, he runs his tail off. So I don't think it matters who is it's Colton Joseph or another quarterback. I mean, this coordinator from Old Dominion, this is what he does. He's going to run the mess out of his quarterback. And it's worked really well for him at ODU. Colton Joseph was over 1,000 yards rushing this year. I mean, I'd have to go and look, but I think that makes him top three among quarterbacks nationally in rushing, maybe first. I was tracking him all year, and I mean, just some huge, huge performances. So I think there's maybe a better chance than you think of Colton Joseph going to Memphis, because I mean, we see this. I think a lot of times guys are also willing to, maybe I can make $250K more going somewhere else, but I'd have to learn
terminology in a new system and all that.
And I might have to fight for the job, you know, as well. And if you follow your coordinator, you know he's going to give you the job. You're going to make seven figures anyway. I mean, I'm assuming Memphis is willing to shell out a million for a quarterback. I don't know that, but you know, if you want to get a good one, you might have to, you know. So
yeah, I think they have that.
Yeah. So if you're gonna, I can guarantee you he wasn't making that at ODU. You know, guarantee it. Yeah. So he could be in for a big raise and get to play for his. For his OC on a bigger stage, and you know, I think there's a shot at it. Now could some of the big boys come sniffing around? Yeah, I mean, no doubt. But because of he's not necessarily the world's most refined passer, I don't know that you're going to see the blue bloods maybe come after him.
All right, now this is going to come across insane, but I mean it when I say it. I saw Darian Mensah come back. He's going back to Duke, re-signed. Probably what another $4.5 million, whatever it was that he left, you know, Tulane for. I'm gonna say this, and I want your opinion on it. Tell me if I'm nuts. Best returning quarterback in college football next year. What do you think about that?
Ooh, that's interesting. Okay, if you're going with the Kurt Cignetti philosophy of production over potential, then I think so. He was incredibly productive. Now, you know, how do you feel about the potential of Arch Manning, right? Like that's something to consider in that
and
equation.
And then Saiyan could have another big year.
He could, and I mean, you know, Ty Simpson, right? Like if I'm assuming he'll come back, and he was really good for a portion of this season. You know, he could be in that conversation as well. So, no, I don't hate it though. I mean, I think Darian Mensah. It's honestly a shame that Duke didn't make the playoff, because I always believed that if they did, they would be live. I mean, because
they'd be tricky.
He's that good. He is that good. They would be. Let's say they were playing Oregon instead of James Madison. I think they'd be a maybe a 9.5 point underdog, you know, as opposed to a 20.5 point underdog for JMU. But again, I'm not mad at all. Like I'm glad James is getting their chance, but I always thought that because of Mensah, if Duke had gotten their chance, you know, he would make them competitive in the playoff.
Yeah. All right. Final thing. Will Muschamp's back. How about it? Going to be the DC at Texas. This was kind of an interesting move from my vantage point, because Pete Kwiatkowski gets fired, and he didn't really particularly do anything wrong, right? Like he wasn't bad. Like Texas's defense was solid. I think their corners needed work. Their secondary wasn't the greatest, but it was not a bad SEC defense. So he gets fired. Will Muschamp's coming in. Does this signal anything to you, the fact that they were willing to fire a coordinator who had done a pretty decent job to go get Will Muschamp? Is this, like, to me, it sort of looked like an all-in move. Do you sort of parrot those? Do you think that's the idea behind this move?
Well, I think it might sort of put to rest the idea that Sark's looking for the escape hatch. Yep. I mean, I guess Will Muschamp was out of work anyway, so maybe, you know, it's not like he was leaving some secure job to go work for Sark. You know, he's, all right, I guess if Sark leaves for the NFL in 2 months, then, you know, whatever, I wasn't working in anyway. It's not like I left some good job. But it's interesting because, I mean, what, 15 years ago, Will Muschamp was the defensive coordinator at Texas, and he kind of got named head coach in waiting after Mac Brown, if I'm not mistaken. And then, of course, he ended up going to Florida. But I think it's a bit of an odd move, a bit of a head scratcher, because, I mean, Muschamp hadn't done this for a couple of years. And, you know, I didn't think the defense was really Texas's problem. But if you're going to go for blood, I mean, you're the play caller, right? Like, Sark's the play caller. So if you're going to fire a coordinator, it's kind of got to be the defensive coordinator, because firing the offensive coordinator means firing yourself. So if they needed to change things up philosophically on, you know, one side of the ball or the other, I mean, it was going to be defense. So I don't know that this changes my opinion of what Texas is going to be next year. I think a lot of that will be hinging upon what they do in the portal, you know, as it will be for most of these teams. But I don't know. It's a weird move. Like, it feels like Muschamp was past his prime, and it had kind of lost the that hunger to really. It felt like he had kind of become that guy, kind of like like Matt Luke. And, you know, you see some of these guys that get into their 50s, they just want to sit back and watch their kids play ball. They've made their money. They've been head coaches.
Collect that analyst check.
Yeah, they got a lot of money. So that, if in that sense, like, I need to know that Will Muschamp has the fire that he did when he was in his 30s and the defensive coordinator at Texas. Because if he doesn't, then this is going to go pretty poorly.
I will say this. Texas defense ought to be motivated at the very least. We know Will Muschamp's style. He does not hold back words. So that'll be fun to watch. But David, enjoy the ball this weekend and have a good weekend. And happy holidays as well.
Yeah. What's the schedule? Are we I guess we talking Monday? What's the deal?
We're going to be in through Christmas Eve, and then we'll be off. So I think we'll have you twice next week.
Yeah, we'll have some playoff games to break down. That'll be fun.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, David.
All right. See ya.
David Cobb is from CBS Sports, covering college football and college basketball, also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday on the Gabe Kuhn Show, then, of course, Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company as the company. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll get you some picks. We'll make you some money on the other side with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports does a terrific...
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers?
Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Service for you right here every Friday on the Gabe Kuhn Show. He gives you some picks and he makes you some money. And we have some college football playoff coming up, some NFL, a late season stuff. Some teams in it, some teams out of it. But Lee Sterling is on X at Paramount Sports. He's the number one capper in the world. He's the co-host of the Locked On Bets podcast and also co-host of Picking the Locks. Make sure that you go listen to those wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Music, Spotify. You know the drill. But Lee joins now. Lee, how are you doing?
I'm good. Ready for these playoffs to finally start. Finally time. So I just hope we see at least one huge upset. I'd love to see Ole Miss, to be honest with you, or Oregon get knocked out. That would be like, wow. Mm-hmm. And I know people say, I don't want to see these you know, non-Power 4 teams in it, but I think it kind of reminds me, if one can win, or at least keep it really close and make a game, great game out of it, might remind me a little bit of March Madness.
I knew there was a reason I liked you, Lee. I knew it. I knew it. Now I need your professional handicapping opinion on the Jake Paul Anthony Joshua thing. Not the fight. I don't need a pick. Okay, but what I do need to know is why is 82% of the bets coming in? Why are 82% of the bets coming in on Jake Paul and 90% of the money coming in on Jake Paul? Like what am I missing?
He's such a big underdog. I mean, people will take a shot, and they know who he is. They don't know the guy he's fighting here. Unless it's an absolute fix, there is no way that Jake Paul can win this fight.
No way. I think if it gets out of the first round, it's a fix.
I agree. I mean, it would be like me going up against a UFC fighter and lasting more than a minute.
You could do it, Lee. I believe in you.
No way.
All right. No. Let's go ahead and get into the card for this week. Tennessee is -2.5 against Illinois in the Music City Bowl. Obviously, we have to stay tuned to status reports and everything else, but how do you see it as of this moment?
Yep. Well, I think that Illinois can score, and people remember them and think of them as, you know, a plodding team. Not the case anymore. They've changed their whole identity, and you need an offense like that. And also, their offensive and defensive lines are really good and underrated here. So I think this is a game they have something to prove here. I think Tennessee is kind of flattened out. Look at the way they played against Vanderbilt. So all of a sudden, they're not going to just rise up in a bowl game. I think the wrong team's favorite in bowl games. Here's what I do. I put probably 2/3, maybe 75% of my wager on the underdog, depending on the game. And the other, 25 to 33% on the money line. A lot of big 7, 10, 13, 14-point underdogs will win these games outright. Yeah, believe it or not.
Now let's take it to New Year's Eve, where we're going to have the ReliaQuest Bowl, the old Outback Bowl. It'll be in Tampa. I hope it's better than the Tampa Bowl game that I just watched today with my Memphis Tigers involved, the Gasparilla Bowl. Mm. That was horrible. It's a shame that the University of Memphis. I'm mad at my alma mater for, you know, saying there was going to be no opt-outs, and then they had mass opt-outs. I mean, the whole offensive line was gone. That's why they get their butts kicked by NC State 31-7. But Vanderbilt versus Iowa, and really Iowa, I mean, they know this bowl game like the back of their hand. Feels like they're in it every single year. But Vanderbilt, 5.5-point favorites.
I don't get it here. I think this Iowa defense, I mean, they're going to keep everything, that Tampa 2 defense, they're going to keep it in front of them. Their defensive line usually takes really good rush lanes. They're not going to, you know, try to go all out for the sack. They just want to make sure, you know, that Pavia is not going to run. That's going to be – they keep him in the pocket, make them go 10, 12, 14 plays. I mean, Vanderbilt's in trouble here, and I think they're going to wear out the depth of the Vanderbilt defensive line. They really only have like 3 or 4 guys on the defensive line that can play. I like Iowa. Another underdog here. Iowa wins straight up 28-24.
Yeah, Iowa still cares about their bowl games. Kirk Ferentz has to keep up his good name in bowl games. All right, now we have a game coming up in an hour and a half. College football playoff, number 8 versus number 9. Oklahoma is at home versus Alabama. They are 2-0 against Alabama in the Kalen DeBoer era. Are they going to make it 3-0? They are 1.5-point favorites.
I think there's a good chance that they will. I think people realize all of a sudden that all of a sudden Oklahoma's the better team. The last 48 hours started betting them heavy. They're playing at home. It's going to be a circus-like atmosphere. They have the better defense. They certainly have the better special teams. Tate Sandell, what a kicker. 23 for 24, and on tries from 50 yards plus, he's 7 for 7. On the other hand, Bama's kickers, 13 for 20. They don't have a field goal of even close to 50 yards plus this season, and Ty Simpson doesn't look right with that bad back. He hadn't looked the same. I know John Mateer hasn't looked great either, but the offensive line for Alabama, they're going to get a couple guys back, but giving up 10 sacks the last 3 games, I told everyone Georgia was going to punch him in the face. I don't think all of a sudden they can get that mojo back either here. I think Oklahoma wins 24-20.
All right, now going straight to the next game in the CFP, it'll be tomorrow at 11 a.m. It'll be in College Station. A&M, the 7 seed versus the 10 seed Miami, who skated in, barely got into the college football playoff, but they made it over Notre Dame, who they beat earlier in the season. A&M, 3.5-point favorites coming off the last time I saw them getting just absolutely smashed by Texas.
Yeah. And here's what's interesting about this A&M team, and I think they don't have any real weakness, but look at their schedule. Before the Texas game, the SEC teams they played had a combined 11-40 record. You talk about playing the bottom feeders of a conference. The last time Miami played there, 2022, it was Mario's second game as a head coach for the University of Miami. His quarterback was Tyler Van Dyke. They had all kinds of delay penalties, illegal procedure. They missed two field goals and also dropped a punt and only lost by 6 points. I mean, now they got Carson Beck. Guy's won a national title. He's won at Texas. He's won at Tennessee. This venue is not going to intimidate him at all here. Wrong team favored. Miami wins outright 24-23. Sets up a rematch of the 2002 national championship game between Miami and Ohio State.
That'd be a good time. All right, now we'll see if you can give me some good news, because I'm sure you know this about me at this point, having gone to a G5 school, but I am the foremost champion of the G5. Like, I want to see them succeed, even though I saw Tulane come into the Liberty Bowl earlier this year and beat my Memphis Tigers. But Tulane, we know they lost 45-10 earlier in the year at this same place against the same team. They're 17.5-point dogs, but we know there's a lot going on in the Ole Miss sphere. Lane Kiffin's not there. They're trying to deal with, you know, potential transfers. Trinidad Chambliss isn't giving straight answers. How do you see this game, and how much of a factor is the potential distractions? Are the potential distractions going on at Ole Miss?
I think they're huge. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, if you're going to transfer Chambliss, wait until after it's all over. I mean, you know, you're playing for a potential national championship. Are you crazy? Just play the game here. In the first game, Ole Miss they look good, but they scored 22 of their 45 points in the fourth quarter. Jake Retzlaff, I think he's a pretty good quarterback. He played for the entire year last year for BYU. When he came over, he only played like a month there. He was here 5 or 6 weeks before this game. He was 5 for 17. It was his worst game as a college quarterback. I think John Sumrall is going to put a bunch here into game planning here. I think he's going to show Ole Miss some different looks here, and I think he's going to slow down the game. They're not going to snap the ball 15, 16 seconds ago. They want to slow this game down here. I don't think they can pull off the upset, but they're going to give him a scare. Ole Miss wins 31-23. I'm taking the points here in Tulane.
Does that get everybody off the G5's back if they keep it that close?
As long as James Madison doesn't get blown out.
Right. All right, now your game of the week is in the NFL. Chiefs, who are out, mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, 3.5-point favorites against the Titans. Let my listeners know how to find that and more of you, Lee.
Yep, love this game. Love one side of this Chiefs-Titans game. Do the Chiefs blow them out with Gardner Minshew a quarterback, or it's going to be a close game, or maybe the Titans pull off the upset? You want to call 800-400-9741. First 10 callers get it for free. 800-400-9741. And check out all the specials. We've won 13 of the last 15 weeks in college football and the NFL. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Well, Lee, enjoy your weekend and enjoy the ball. We'll talk soon.
You too, buddy. Take care. Be safe.
Yes, sir. He is Lee Sterling at Paramount Sports on X. Go to ParamountSports.com to find all of his picks, because he's the number one capper in the world. He covers football, Major League Baseball, basketball, UFC, NHL. He's got a couple of podcasts you should go check out on Apple or Spotify. Locked On Bets. He's a co-host there, and he's a co-host of a podcast called Picking the Locks, where he gives out free picks. So make sure you go check those out. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note, though, and we'll wrap up hour number two next with Small Talk.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. We have to go to the Grizzlies, who just put out their status report, their availability report, for tomorrow night's game where they could get to 500 against the 4-20 Washington Wizards. And you would hope that you'd have a full cupboard. You're not going to have a full cupboard. It's the Memphis Grizzlies we're talking about, of course. But this is an all-timer, Connor. There are 9 names listed as out. No questionable, no probable, no doubtful. All of them out. Zach Edey, G.G. Jackson, Ty Jerome, John Conchar, Jermaine Mashak, John Morant, Scottie Pippen Jr., Javon Small, Vince Williams Jr. I just want to be clear about this. There's 9 names listed. Do you know how many players are actually listed on the roster, including two-ways? 18. So half of the team is unavailable. They only have 9 available bodies for tomorrow night's game. Now, of those available bodies, Cam Spencer and Jaren Jackson Jr. are apart. Okay? So I like that idea. But this is one of the more insane injury reports I've ever seen in my life. Not that I'm surprised by it. It's just crazy to see actually typed out.
Cam Spencer will save us.
I guess so. You know what? I have a strong opinion on this, Connor. I actually have a strong opinion.
Sure.
I think instead of doing who's out, tell us who's in.
Just tell us who's actually going
to
play.
Shout out to Jeffrey Wright. Tell your story.
Yeah.
I think telling us who's actually available may help with fan morale. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But continuing to tell us that nine guys are going to be out in a game that you could get to 500, it's not fun for any of us to see here or otherwise.
May we point out some positivity? Are we allowed to do that even though there's nine players on the injury report?
It depends. Go ahead. Try.
Brandon Clark's not on it. That's good. BC playing again.
Okay.
Are we allowed to be excited about that or at least happy about that?
Yeah, sure.
It's better than him being on the injury report. It's better than being 10.
Wait, so I just thought about it, too. You're going to have nine available bodies, and he's clearly on a minutes restriction.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You laugh because it's...
Well, it's like Cam's going to have to run
it's
point
not
like
fun
the
to
whole
cry.
Game. All your ball handlers are out. Like, Vince is out. Scotty's out.
Cedric Coward or Jalen Wells? Like, who's going to start being mostly on ball?
It'll be Cam.
Start?
You think he'll? Who else?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Who else is going to start?
I guess it's
Jock Landale.
So let's talk. Let's talk through starting
KCP.
Lineup. Let's do this starting lineup: Brandon Clark, Jaren,
and
Shed, Jalen, Cam.
Yeah.
I think they can beat the Wizards with that.
That seems fine to me.
They could do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand why Cam wouldn't start when you quite literally don't have another
ball handler. Also, what do we know about Ja? He was listed as questionable and then downgraded out. We knew he was on crutches, and now he's out again.
I am curious if they are like, we're not bringing you back to play the Wizards.
Okay. I hope that's it.
Yeah. I don't know.
But the fact that he was on crutches the other day does concern the hell out.
It doesn't inspire confidence.
And they haven't given an update, so I'm going to use that as positivity for now.
They shot us once, and they're giving us some time to recover before they before they hit us again.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, now let's go ahead and get to this last half hour before we pass you off to the CFP Alabama versus Oklahoma. But Parker Fleming on some NBA and Grizzlies next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.